Someone who's back home and with her latest book and representing something of a change for her is locally born, now living in Hong Kong, author Sarah Brennan. The book is Storm Whale and it's published by Allen and Unwin. Sarah, welcome back to Tasmania. Welcome back to Hobart.
Thank you very much, Louise.
Coming from Hong Kong, you're now home. It must seem such a difference to land back in Hobart, doesn't it?
It's incredible. I can't believe how beautiful Tasmania is and how beautiful Hobart is. Just coming off the plane, the fact you can come off a plane and not go into a chute, you actually go down the steps and then the air is so clean and it's quiet. It's beautiful. It's quite, I think it's unique.
Well, it's lovely to have you back. And I have to say, a book about a whale washed up in a storm. And this is a children's book, beautifully illustrated by Jane Tanner. You could wander around so many of Tasmanian beaches and find the place where this story might happen.
Yes. Yeah. Well, when I was a kid, mum and dad would pack us in the car and we'd go up to Binalong Bay. And up near on the north coast. And we would find whales sometimes stranded on the beach. Often they'd be dead. Mm. It would really break my heart as a kid. And even today, I get very tearful when I hear about stranded whales. So this was kind of a homage to my childhood and those beach holidays, which were invariably cold and wet, even if it was summer. And also these beautiful creatures, because I do love whales.
Were there three of you? Were you three sisters?
Yeah, sure. Yes, indeed. And a little brother. He didn't make it into the story.
Maybe in the follow-up. It is the story of three girls, and they are heading out. They end up at the beach, and it is a children's story, so it's about sharing the story. And I'll start with the opening part, which was as the girls head out, and also as is the way with children's books, often perhaps the way they can end as well. Bleak was the day, and the wind whipped down when I and my sisters walked to town, and the seabirds wheeled and the salt sea spray made dots and dashes black and grey on the cold round rocks on the jetty's side and the promenade where the children ride on Shetland ponies small and strong when the summer days stretch on and on. Where does the story go from there?
Well, these little girls, basically they're being blown around by the wind and they go down to the beach and they see this whale and it absolutely stops them in their tracks. And they're kind of terribly upset and they want to save the whale. So they spend all day bending and bucketing pail on pail and they're pulling at its tail and they're trying to tug it out to sea. It's what a little kid will try to do, not knowing that it's all quite futile.
But they want to help, don't they, children? That's one of the remarkable things.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Children have big hearts.
It's a children's book. It's beautifully illustrated. Tell me about the relationship between you and the illustrator, Jane Tanner.
Well, I mean, I haven't met Jane yet.
Really?
No.
Wow.
No, it's amazing. They kind of kept us apart. Mm. I mean, one of the things about kids' books, picture books, is that it's really important to let the artist have their own conception of the story. And I always think that means 1 + 1 = 3. And so basically I wasn't even allowed to say what sort of whale I thought it was.
Oh, really?
No. So it's purely Jane's conception. And I just think it's beautiful. Absolutely amazing. It's better than I could have ever thought of.
So she got you and she got the story by the sounds of it.
Well, I think so. And I think there's a lot of Jane in this too.
Tell me about writing for children. I mean, the cadence of reading out aloud, I think, is part of the joy for parents and for children to listen, isn't it?
Yeah.
How does the process of the writing it for you? Are you reading it in your head out loud as you're putting the words down?
It's like a song. It's like a song. I've always been in love with rhyming verse since I've been a little kid. I tell kids when I visit schools that I fell in love with a very old man when I was, 6 years old and he had a long white beard and a bouffant hairdo and black-rimmed glasses and his name was Theodore Geisel and, of course, that's Dr. Seuss. And I just love rhythm and rhyme and I think a lot of kids do. And so I just started writing that way and I've written that way ever since. I have tried writing prose and I find it very hard, actually. Mm. There's this sort of, I think once your brain gets wired, that's why it's hard to unscramble it. Mm. But for me, it's the song. And it's almost like a song. And particularly, I write two styles of stories, but for this style of story, these very lyrical ones, it's almost like you go into a different space. And I almost feel like, someone else is writing the lines. It just comes. Mm. It just comes out of the ether.
It may take the illustrator to put the pictures down, but you do get a sense of being in the place by the words that you choose and the rhythm of the paragraphs, I think, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's all, it's a magical process. I always get terrified when people ask me about my writing process.
It's the number one question.
It's not something you can sit down and rationalise, really. No. It just happens.
It's like when someone asks me how I thought the program went today. Well, I can't remember what I said at the start of it.
It's a bit like that. It just happens, and you've got to be in the mood. Mm. And I always like to feel it's a very right brain process. So it's you're going into that creative thing. I often find I write best very late at night or in the early morning when things are absolutely quiet. And it's that time when you have no sense of time passing. And I find when I'm writing, I'm unconscious of any sense of time. I can look at my watch and it can be 2 hours later and I'll think, well, where did that go? Mm. So I do think you're actually accessing different parts of your brain.
I think you probably are, isn't it? And just drawing on maybe the under-exercised parts sometimes.
Yes, I think so.
Bringing them back.
Yeah.
You mentioned it represents a change because you've also, and you'll be talking about this at an event tomorrow in Hobart, one of your previous books.
Yes.
Tell me about the change, I guess, in direction of the style and what that kind of represented to you as a challenge.
It's actually a return to a previous style. When I was a kid, I wrote a lot. And then when I was a teenager, I wrote a lot. And I've always been a terrible romantic at heart. And I love nature. And, of course, being surrounded by nature as a kid, it means a terrible amount to me, an awful amount to me. So, for me, I always used to write in this lyrical style. And then I became a lawyer. And I did that for decades. But I was still writing. But then I think I just got a bit too smart for my own boots. I started writing funny poems about lawyers mainly and about, the things I was doing. And so you start then, I think, looking at a different part of your brain because you're looking at the rational side and you're starting to look at ingredients and how you're going to use them and how you're going to turn phrases. And so the series that I did in Hong Kong, when I stopped being a lawyer and I started writing in Hong Kong, I was looking at very much doing material about Chinese subject matter, Chinese history for kids and making it fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I write they're called the Chinese Calendar Tales, and that's the book, in fact, I'm doing
Rickshaw Rooster.
The Tale of Rickshaw Rooster, because this year is the year of the rooster. And so, for example, for that one, I knew I wanted to put in the history of the change from the imperial system in China through nationalism to communism. And that's quite a meaty mouthful of history for kids to digest. So I was looking at how do we represent this and make it fun. So we have the rooster representing the Chinese people. The people kind of at the bottom, the ordinary people. And, he's racing the people from the foreign concessions who were controlling Shanghai at the time. And so for that, I was ticking boxes. So it's still, you'll still find the lyrical language there and also the big words, because I'm a big believer that you saturate kids in beautiful language and that's the way they'll absorb it and use it. So you still find that there, but it's very much a conscious process of, okay, what history am I putting in? How am I going to make it appealing? How can I make it fun for kids, especially for boys, because we have boys becoming more reluctant as readers. And so it's a very cerebral process, but not at all, you're not going into that lyrical, spacey part of your brain.
But it's all there, isn't it? You say it's an important process, but the seamless at the other end for the reader, as the reader sticks with the story and perhaps find different levels in it, that's where it's seamless, but acknowledges your efforts.
Well, it is the big key when you're writing and rhyming verse, and we've all read bad rhyming verse, and that is to make it sound natural. But that is, I think, where the song comes in almost. I mean, you look at Taylor Swift, and I say this to kids, she writes ballads, but the word ballad, it's nothing to do with music. It's actually to do with the poetry form.
Mm.
And so a lot of songs are actually poetry set to music. And I think if you have that sense of music as a kid and that sense of rhyme, you do naturally fall into that ballad style. But that is the art. And the art is to make it seem natural.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is the art also to want to get into your next book as soon as possible, Sarah?
Oh, well, I'm always... It's kind of funny. Ideas come at the most unlikely moments. Ideas often come in highly stressful moments. It's quite interesting. And I've been through a bit of stress lately. My darling dad died in January. And... it's really weird how you go through extremely stressful times and somehow it activates that very creative part of your brain. Mm. And I've spoken to other people who say that, this happens to artists as well. And maybe it's a form of stress relief. I don't know, stress therapy. But you go into this very highly heightened creative state. And so I got writing, even though I was busy, and it was just flowing out. So, and then there's other times where I just don't feel like writing at all.
You've got to recognise the moments, I guess, when they're there, and then you take advantage of them.
Well, you do. And often they'll just pounce on you and you feel this irresistible urge and you get out your pen and your paper and you just jot it down. And because you're in that heightened creative state, it comes very easily.
Mm.
So it's not a labour at that point.
Stormwell's coming soon. Sarah is in town tomorrow at Fuller's.
I am at 3 p.m.
And it's a pleasure to have you back in town. Thank you so much for coming in.
Louise, thanks very much for having me.
Stormwell by Sarah Brennan, illustrated by Jane Tanner, and it's published by Allen and Unwin.